This is a Christian Science Extemporaneous Prayer Treatment by the Mary Baker Eddy Institute. Website, mbeinstitute.org. On page 146 of the Textbook of Christian Science by Mary Baker Eddy, entitled Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, on page 146, she states three major points. First of all, that Jesus' healings were based on science. And that science is a system that Mary Baker Eddy discovered and is in the textbook. One, she reduced divine metaphysics to a system, and two, it enables the learner to demonstrate healing. And then on page 330, she says, there are 32 planks to this platform of the Christian Science system of divine metaphysics, and we need to understand both the letter and the spirit, and we must live them in daily life. When we do that, it will prove the infallibility of the system to be effective. The purpose of the Mary Baker Eddy Institute is to promote the system that Mary Baker Eddy discovered. It's like mathematics. Any two people or any number of people apply and live the laws, which are the universal laws that govern everyone, everything, all the time. And doesn't matter how many people do this, they will all get the same result, because it's a proven science. Everyone has a sovereign right to choose what kind of life they would like to benefit from. They can make no plans with no structure of any kind and live a life of ups and downs, chaos, evenness, radical change, more chaos, and so forth. Or they can have a life that is based on a structure that will give progress on a consistent basis and enable them to do wonderful things. Principle is structure. Mind is system. A combination of principle plus mind works like clockwork. It provides consistent progress and consistent results. If the structure and system are those of the system of divine metaphysics, then it will build character. If the system of divine metaphysics is the structure and system that is pursued, it will build a desire and capacity to give to others. Giving to others builds capacity to heal, both preventative and curative. The preventative is basically protection so that there is no need for a curative. Healing is the key to benefit all mankind. Benefiting all mankind contributes to true freedom. There are three quotes at the beginning of the Christian Science textbook. One, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus. Two, there is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Shakespeare. Three, oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere. Mary Baker Eddy. In the first quote, the freedom that we will gain is from the ups and downs. It will be replaced with consistent progress and results. Number two, the Shakespeare quote, nothing either good or bad. When we realize that we have the power, authority, and the capacity to control what we think and what we put into consciousness and what we reject, which is no good, then we will be on a road to progress. And number three, when Mary Beth Grady says, oh, thou hast heard my prayer, it seems that she is referring to her understanding of the universal laws of God. And she has been able to, in a practical manner, align with those laws. And therefore, she benefits from the power that is embedded in each of the laws of God. Jesus was asked one time, what is the greatest commandment of all? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. We like to reverse those and say, number one is to love your neighbor. And when you do, you are learning to love God. Because your neighbor is visible. And the Bible clearly states that God is not visible. And it also states that we cannot love the invisible until we love the visible. So if we want to love God, then we need to love our neighbor. Because the Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27 states that God made man in his image and likeness. So if we view our fellow man as being the likeness of God, then we are going a huge step closer to being able to love God. We cannot love God unless we are loving everyone and everything. Love is the key. Love is the key to success in any endeavor, any topic, anytime, anywhere. That's the key. To understand that relationship. God is the source of everything. And everything that exists is a manifestation of God. So God includes not only being the source, but includes his entire manifestation, which is all existence. So the laws of God are universal. Everywhere. Doesn't matter what planet we're on, the laws of God govern. Physicists have studied their whole life trying to figure out how in the world was the universe created. They always approach it from a materialistic standpoint. Mary Baker Eddy is the first one that explained that it is based on spirit, not matter, and that the only power is based on mind, not brain, not mortal mind, not blood, bones, and other material elements, not our authority to control other people. Power, as Mary Baker Eddy states, is based on the good that we do and embody. She defines good on page 587. She defines it as God, Spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, omniaction. Her definition of God on page 465, which is a summary of chapters 1 through 13, so that means it really is all packed into one little sentence that has the power, which is eternally dynamic. She states that God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. She states on 587, the definition of God, as God is the great I am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, eternal, principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, all-substance, intelligence. Genesis 1 defines man. In verse 26 and 27, that man is the image and likeness of God. She defines man on page 591 the same way, with a little different additional requirement. Man is a compound idea of infinite spirit, the spiritual image and likeness of God, the full expression of mind. Now, all of those qualities that are just mentioned in her definition are the qualities of God. She just picked them out. Instead of a generic statement like it says in the Bible, that man is made in the image and likeness of God, she is stressing some of the qualities of God. And of course, when you read the definition of God, it includes a lot more than what is just in the definition of man, because she says that it's the infinite idea of spirit, the image and likeness of God, which means it includes all of the seven synonymous terms that define God. And she's emphasizing mind, because mind is really the key. As Shakespeare says, nothing is either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Are we going to let the mind of God be our thinking? If we do, then we're on the right track. Because if we're going to rely on a brain, we're going to be very disappointed. Because there's no consistency. You might have someone that makes what is believed to be a great new discovery from their brain. And sometime later, the reverse will be found to be true. The brain does not want to accept anything that is unlike what it believes to be true. And the brain is very subject to influence of universal thought. And that can be very good, or it can be very bad. But if it's a major difference, then the brain is very slow to accept it. The brain is trained to absorb mortal mind suggestions. Mortal mind operates with great deception and decoys. It tries to direct one's attention to one activity in order to cover up another one that is much more significant that is taking place. As a result, the human brain is filled with false information. If we understand how evil operates, we will be light years ahead of where we would be otherwise. If one studies every truly successful individual, they will find that the success is only solid if it is based on complying with the laws of God. The founder of Walmart built the largest retail organization in the world. How did he do it? Read the book. He wrote a book. He wrote a biography himself. He, first of all, found the resources that were the lowest cost so that he could give a really good bargain to the individuals that were shopping in his store. Second of all, he gave in another very important way, and that is total customer satisfaction. Bring anything back, anytime, for any reason, we'll give you your money back. Anytime, for any reason. No time limit. The first time that kind of a customer service had ever been offered. It took several years before any other company caught on to the secret. I mean, it seems to be obvious. They were probably shopping at Walmart when they started their company. And they were enjoying it, being able to take back anything at any time and getting a low price to begin with. But they didn't connect the dots. And once other companies started doing it, then the public abused them. They would buy a computer from a big box store that sold computers. They'd use it for 2 or 3 years and then take it back, get their money back, and buy a new one that was more powerful, better, at a lower cost. Dishonesty is not what the giving was based on, by Sam Walton. So eventually, and this is many years after he left the scene in visible form, he went around the corner. But many years later, they had to change their policy because of the dishonesty by those who were bringing returns back. Not all of them, just the ones that were dishonest. If you study the life of anyone that was truly successful in healing, not just successful in any kind of business, you will find that their life was devoted to a life of giving. They were a true follower of the laws of God. There is nothing isolated. There is no one isolated from the grand network that connects the family of God. Whether we like it or not, the connection is there. Whether we take advantage of it or not, it's up to us individually. Whether we see the value of it, are we looking through a mist, or are we seeing in clarity? Are we utilizing the lens of spirit or the lens of matter? It's an individual choice. Everything about our life is an individual choice. And the result will be whether or not we utilize wisdom and intelligence and knowing, or we work in the dark. It's up to us. It's an individual decision. Mathematics uses the 10 digits, 0 through 9, and the operators add, subtract, multiply, and divide. There's several levels, but this is the basic level. Music uses the seven notes and the sharps and flats. There's five of those. It uses mathematics. It has operators, just like mathematics. If you apply the individual elements of the notes to the operators, it will give you harmony. In the system of divine metaphysics, the operators are the word, which means the facts about God, the Christ, which is the ability to translate whatever comes our way from any negative material aspect to a spiritual aspect. In other words, we're looking for the spiritual nature, not what our eyes are showing us. If our eyes are showing us something that is very evil, we have to flip it to see the truth of being. As it states in Genesis, chapter 1 at the end, everything God made was very good. We can benefit from that if we live according to the laws of God. Mary Baker Eddy did a self-examination every hour to make sure she was only thinking in a spiritual, positive, constructive way about everything and every event and every single individual, every collective group, and universal belief. She had to see them all in their true nature, which is not the appearance that some of them may be giving. She was attacked constantly by the members of her church, specifically the board of directors. They wanted to have total control. She wouldn't give it to them. She established the church so it would be controlled by God, not by man. So she wrote a manual. She took it out of the continuing argument of church versus state and put it into the jurisdiction of the courts, which are based on business, not based on emotion. But obviously, they didn't live up to it. And therefore, what used to be 40 or 50 churches in all the large cities, you'll be lucky to find more than two or three. You see, you cannot break the laws of God. You cannot start taking instead of giving. You cannot try to control other people instead of being a blessing to them. When she established the monitor about 115 years ago, she said the purpose was to give the facts, give the truth about what really is going on, but also to bless all mankind and injure none. The media was corrupt back in her day, just like it is now. And that was the reason she started the monitor. She wanted to report the truth. And it gained worldwide respect based on how she founded it. But over the years, just like any large bureaucracy, it became susceptible to fraud, dilution, diversion. In recent years, it became totally woke. If you know what that means, it means it was far from the truth. And all of these things had a part in having it go down the hill to almost total extinction. A fellow wrote a book a few years ago. The title was Between Two Towers. Highly recommended. Following is the definition of mind from page 469 from Science and Health. True sense of infinitude. Mind is God. The exterminator of error is the great truth that God, good, is the only mind, and that the supposititious opposite of infinite mind, called devil or evil, is not mind, is not truth, but error, without intelligence or reality. On page 591 in the glossary, mind, the only I or us, the only spirit, soul, divine principle, substance, life, truth, love, the one God. Not that which is in man, but the divine principle or God, of whom man is the full and perfect expression. Deity, which outlines but is not outlined. So you can imagine what mortal mind is, for that's the opposite. And she tells us on page 591, the same page, as the quote from the glossary. Nothing, claiming to be something, for mind is immortal. Mythology, error, creating other errors. A suppositional material sense. Alas, the belief that sensation is in matter, which is sensationless. A belief that life, substance, and intelligence are in and of matter. The opposite of spirit, and therefore the opposite of God, or good. The belief that life has a beginning and therefore an end. The belief that man is the offspring of mortals. The belief that there can be more than one creator. Idolatry. The subjective states of error. Material senses. That which neither exists in science nor can be recognized by the spiritual sense. Sin, sickness, death. Well, it should be pretty easy to tell whether or not we are following divine mind or mortal mind, because they're absolutely opposites. Here is the definition of day. This is from the glossary, page 584. The radiance of life. Light, the spiritual idea of truth and love. And Mary Baker Eddy quotes the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 5. And the evening and the morning were the first day. The objects of time and sense disappear in the illumination of spiritual understanding. And mind measures time according to the good that is unfolded. This unfolding is God's day, and there shall be no night there. If we think about that, at the beginning, when we open our eyes every morning, or whenever we sleep, we are provided normally with 5 senses. And we think of them as material senses. Seeing, hearing, feeling, smell, taste. But what if we thought about them as being spiritual? If we want to advance in learning about God, we don't have any choice. God knows nothing about matter, or material sense, or emotion. God is of pure eyes and to behold evil. All of those things are evil. They're not good. Chaos is not good. And if we're going to rely on material sense, we're going to have chaos. Structure and system includes an understanding of things such as goal management, G-O-A-L, goal management, time management, priority management, reading skills, listening skills. When we want to evaluate something, utilize all of the senses so that it can be identified properly. We're giving all 5 senses for a reason. We need to use them. We may be given a proposal for some kind of a business arrangement. It may look okay. It may sound okay. But how does it feel? How does it smell? How does it taste? If it is too good to be true, a very high probability that it is false. No good. What do you think is the best way to learn something that's really important? In fact, it can be utilized to learn anything. The most important thing anyone could learn is the system of divine metaphysics, because that lays the groundwork for complete freedom, sovereignty, everything about one's life will be improved by dimensions. No matter where you are now, what do you think is the most effective way to learn the system of divine metaphysics? To learn about God. To learn about man. To learn about everything that's important in one's life by reading and making numbered lists of the key points. Chop it into little pieces. One paragraph or one topic, which would probably cover less than a page. Mary Baker Eddy breaks the textbook down into usually 3 or 4 topics on a page. And they're clearly named so that you can easily identify them. If you read them and then record exactly what you're reading, and it's suggested that you read it first, look up any words you do not understand thoroughly, keeping in mind some words that are really important, you may not realize what they mean. Most people do not realize that hearing means understand. So, look up any word that you have any doubt at all about. Read and try to get an appreciation for what the message is. Then record it in your own voice. Then play it back. Then think about how you can say the same thing in your own words. And record that. And play that back. Try to apply it to what you're actively involved in during the day. Because only if you exercise what you learn are you going to remember it. And then record how you applied it during the day. And then listen to it. You need to be using all of your senses if you want to be effective about learning anything of great value. I've had some of our visitors to the website say, well, I don't want to hear my own voice. That's up to you. If you want to cut out 80% of the value of learning, then cut it out. And work 5 times harder with one hand tied behind your back. Maybe 2 hands. It's so valuable to record and listen to what you record in your own voice that there's no words that can express the value of doing that. We know it works. They didn't know that back in Mary Baker Eddy's day because they didn't have any kind of a device that they could use to record. Now most people have that facility on their phone, and if they've got a laptop, on the laptop, or a desktop computer, or you can buy a separate recorder. But you need to be able to save it and put it on your own computer and not leave it on your cell phone. If you leave it on your cell phone or in the hands of someone else, such as a free cloud service of uploading things, you're taking a big risk. You should have it on your computer, and it should be backed up. That's principle. That's structure. That's intelligence. That's wisdom. If you leave any step out of this, you're reducing the value and you're eliminating some important things that enable you to learn. And by learning means that you can recall it any time. That means you have to practice it on a daily basis. Professional pianists do the exercises every day. It doesn't matter how much money they are earning in having performances. If they don't practice every day and include their exercises in those practices, then they're not a professional. The basics enable one to build perfection on the platform of the basics. Vladimir Ashkenazy is probably one of the most respected pianists that ever lived. He was asked in one of his performances, he frequently has a Q&A, and this was by a critic, well-known critic of concert piano. And he said, how can you perform with such perfection so consistently? I never find any errors in anything you do. He said, I practice. He was Russian, so that's his accent. Until the music plays me. Until the music plays him. He really got down to the important point that is required of perfection. You cannot perform perfectly if you're going to have yourself in the formula. You have to be totally removed from the operation. In the case of being a pianist, he had to totally get any personal communication, interpretation, translation eliminated. He had to make sure that he was performing every time he played it, which would be mostly in practice. He had to make sure that he was playing it the way the composer expected it to be played. That's a true musician. Far from anything less. He had such a mastery of the performance that he would have a conversation with the audience while he was performing. I remember one place he said, now listen up, pretty soon there's going to be a little stream of water trickling down. He had such a sense of ease and naturalness. And that's exactly what perfection is. It is natural. Anything that is not natural is not perfection. There are three Christian Science practitioners that had perfected their lives and therefore their healings, just like Vladimir Ashkenazi did. Frederick Rawson, Wentworth Winslow, and Joel Goldsmith. I don't believe there's any written evidence they even knew each other. And of course, they were in different eras. Frederick L. Rawson was gone around the corner about 1925 or so. And Wentworth Winslow came on the scene probably a few years before that. And he was in the practice for 35 years. And Joel Goldsmith came along, I believe probably about 1940 or something like that, 50. So they had only a short time that their paths overcrossed based on the calendar. But they all conducted their business the same way. They had 15-minute appointments. And when the 15 minutes had expired, the healing was done. And they took the next patient. Christ Jesus and Mary Baker Eddy also were able to have instantaneous healings, of course. These people that I mentioned did it for years and years and years. Wentworth Winslow was informed by telegram back in the early 1900s to please do 6 treatments. It didn't say anything else. He did not know the individual, never heard of him. He didn't have any idea what the problem was. He figured out he only had one choice, and that was to self-examine everything he was thinking, saying, and doing to make sure it was at his highest level of purity that he could understand. He applied it all day long. A few days later, he got another telegram, and it said, 6 more treatments, please. He kept right on doing what he was doing. He didn't know anything else to do. Nothing else came to him as a solution. And then sometime later, he got another telegram. He said the first treatment healed the case. And he said it was for a friend. And the problem was insanity. And he said, but nobody would believe it, that he was healed. So he had to ask for a treatment to heal the thought of everyone that was condemning the guy instead of accepting his healing. Every thought, speech, and action that we're involved in reflects out into the universe of thought. And it touches upon anyone that is receptive. And that is apparently what was taking place here. We are all involved in one network. We all have the same Father, Mother God. I shall read the Lord's Prayer with the spiritual sense as provided by Mary Baker Eddy. Mary Baker Eddy includes 4 lines of text just before the Lord's Prayer, but she really includes a couple of pages, because the Lord's Prayer is on pages 16 and 17, and she begins back, I believe it's the last sentence of line of page 14. In essence, she states, only as we rise above all material sensuousness and sin, can we reach the heaven-born aspiration and spiritual consciousness which is indicated in the Lord's Prayer and which heals instantaneously the sick. Here, let me give what I understand to be the spiritual sense of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, our Father, Mother God, all harmonious. Hallowed be thy name, adorable one. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom is come, thou art ever present. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And love is reflected in love. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Amen. This will close this prayer treatment, which provides some thoughts that one may want to consider to review at the beginning of their day. This is only an example, and you are highly encouraged to utilize the tools that are available on our website to build a prayer for yourself. Keep at the forefront of your thought that our task is not to ask anything of God. God already knows all. Always has. There is no time with God. There's no time with Spirit. And the more we are able to spiritualize our thought, speech, and action, the more we will be able to experience stepping out of the limitation of time. If anyone has any question about this treatment or any of the 400 plus treatments that are on the website, anything about Mary Baker Eddy's writings or the Bible, anything about Christian Science or the system of divine metaphysics, please contact us through the contact page. We will be happy to communicate with you directly. Right now is April 19, 2026. It's 08:49, the time. And this has been a prayer treatment on the topic of day, covering all seven synonymous terms for God. Thank you for listening. The end.